some of the things, you know, we could look at. We could look at prayer as a relationship with God, prayer as a response to God, prayer as God's will, prayer on the Holy Spirit, prayer and God's promises concerning prayer, prayer and worship, prayer and praise and thanksgiving, prayer as asking God, prayer for other people, prayer and faith, persistence in prayer, how to get answers to prayer, doubts about prayer, prayerlessness, advice for effective prayer, prayfulness, and the results of it, prayer in the church, practicalities of prayer. I could go on and on talking about prayer. So out of all the list, what are we going to talk about this morning? Well, let's start with real basics, okay? Praying according to the will of God. Praying according to the will of God. But before we look at what it is to be praying according to the will of God, let's look at some common prayers that aren't in line with the will of God. And they've become cliches within the church. And if the enemy, watch this, if the enemy can't stop you praying, what he'll do is he'll get people praying outside of scriptural truth. You see, if he can't stop you praying, he's going to get you praying the wrong type of prayers. That's the enemy's plan. So, praying in error. So let's just look at just a quick example, a few examples here of the wrong types of prayer. Because, you know, when people pray, sometimes people say, oh, well, I spend an hour in prayer. Well, it might have been good. It might not have been good. All depends what you were praying. You see? So it's good to be praying, but it's important that we're praying the right type of prayers. Now then, here's a few things. Prayer, wrong types of prayer. The wrong type of prayer, number one, is a prayer that doesn't line up with the word. So by word, explicitly, I mean the New Testament. We shouldn't confuse the Old Testament with the New Testament. For example, some pray, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. Some people pray that and they think it's a good prayer. You may think it's a good prayer. The problem with that, praying from the Psalm 42, is that it sounds all right at first, but it is totally wrong. Totally wrong. Why? Well, it's wrong because prayer, New Testament prayer, must be biblical. And when we say biblical, it must be part of the new covenant, not the old covenant. Watch what Jesus says. Jesus clearly teaches in John 4:14, but whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Never thirst. So if the devil can't stop you praying, he'll try and get you praying prayers that don't line up with New Testament Christianity. As the deer pants for the water, oh, I'm panting after. No. Because we know Jesus. And we won't deny him in our prayer life. You see, sometimes we can feel as if, oh, well, I'm praying biblical prayers. No, it's Old Testament prayer. It's not biblical. We're in the New Covenant, folks. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It's the New Testament. The New Testament. The New Testament of Jesus. And what Jesus has done but through his sacrifice on the cross. I'm not thirsty in that same Old Testament way. The veil of the temple has been torn in two. When it was torn in two, the Holy Spirit enters you and me as temples. We're the temples of the Holy Spirit. No, we're not thirsty in that way at all. Jesus' words, who believes Jesus' words? Well, if Jesus' words are true, these are his words from John 4:14. But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Hallelujah. So there's one thing for us to remember about the wrong type of prayer. Well, you see, you know, what difference does it make? Listen, it's a denial of the words of Jesus and the life of Christ. It makes a big difference. Some people say, oh, well, you know, what difference does it make? It's a huge difference. It's the difference between light and dark. It's a complete difference. That's why they call it New Testament. It's new. It's completely different. In the sense that now you and I are the temples of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Oh, it's beautiful. So beautiful. And so the enemy wants you to pray words, even biblical words, that can be used out of context to compromise who you are in Christ. Listen, the enemy wants you to compromise who you are in Christ out of your mouth. We all agree that the mouth is powerful. Amen. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it will eat the fruit thereof. Death and life. So the enemy wants us to pray words that aren't right. Wrong words. Denial of Jesus' truth. And denial of what Jesus has taught us. That's his plan. So this is very important. This isn't just a quirky little incidental that I'm offering out, you know. No, this is it. Very, very important. A second thing. Watch this now. Is praying for the anointing. Is praying for the anointing based on the word. You know, people pray for the anointing. Oh, Lord, we want your anointing, Lord. We want your anointing, please. It sounds biblical, doesn't it? Anointing is a biblical word. Calling out to God for the anointing. It sounds biblical, doesn't it? You've heard it lots of times in prayer. Oh, Lord, we want your anointing. We want your anointing. Well, hold on a sec. Is that taught in the New Testament? Does the New Testament teach us to pray for the anointing? Well, does it?
No.
No. Instead, this is what the New Testament teaches. Watch this. Watch this now. 1 John 2:27. But the anointing which you have received of him abides in you. It abides in you. The anointing. And what is the anointing? The anointing is Christ. Christ abides in us. We are anointed. But if the enemy can get us praying for the anointing, it's a denial of the New Testament truth. Can you see it, folks? It's important that we pray the right way. This could save hours and days. See, praying the wrong way is just boring. It doesn't get us anywhere. It's like saying, darling, I'm walking up to the church now. I'm going to have a bit of exercise today. I'm walking up to the church, sweetheart, and Micah comes looking for me, and I'm on the treadmill. She says, I thought you were walking to church. I'm walking. I'll walk there quicker. I'll get there quicker if I walk a bit quicker. Yeah, but hold on. You're walking on the treadmill. you're going nowhere. You need to be walking on the right direction in order to get to the church. If you're not on the right direction, you're not going to be getting there to your destiny. It's like that with prayer. Prayer has to be under the right direction. And the right direction is found in his word, according to his word. We have received that anointing. And the New Testament doesn't teach anything else. Doesn't teach about praying for the anointing. We've received the anointing. And the Holy Spirit, you see, begins to move in our lives when our lives line up with the word, and when we live in the expectancy of the anointing. So you picture it now. Once we know the word, and we say, well, no, I have received an anointing. I know I've received an anointing. I'm not going to be praying for an anointing. I've received his anointing. And what happens is that births in us an expectancy that we didn't previously have. Because now we know that we are anointed of God. I know that wherever I'm going, I'm taking the anointing of God. I know that when I go to a restaurant, when I go to wherever I'm going, I'm taking Christ with me. And I can then manifest Christ in that place. So this is an important thing to be aware of what the New Testament says. Here's another one. Praying for revival. It sounds good. It sounds really good, doesn't it? We're going to pray for revival. What is the New Testament? Does the New Testament teach us to pray for revival? Surely it must be there somewhere in one of those books. It's got to be there, surely. Must be one little verse about praying for revival in the whole of the New Testament. Otherwise, why on earth is the church spending so much time praying for revival? It's not in the New Testament. If it's not in the New Testament, why is the church praying so much for revival? I'll tell you why, and the truth will shock you. Much easier to pray for God to send revival than to live in the revival yourself. God has actually put the responsibility of revival onto us for us to live in his revival. You prove God's revival when Jesus is allowed to live through your life. When Jesus is living through you, and there's testimonies, and there's prayer, and there's an eagerness for God first place in life, that's when we prove revival. No, God can send a sovereign revival, absolutely. But when the church is praying for that constantly, no. It's a cop-out. He's called us to live the Zoe life of God. Live the abundant life of Jesus. Anyone in this place agree with me? Say amen. Amen. Acts 3:19, it says this. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. You know, we touched on it we don't need to say too much more about that. I mean, here's something else. Here's another cop-out. Praying, you've heard people pray, totally unbiblical, when they pray for a hunger for the things of God. Oh, God, give me a hunger for your ways, a hunger for you. Sounds good. Sounds sort of Christian-ish. Totally unbiblical. Totally unbiblical. And again, similarly, puts the onus of responsibility on God. It's like, well, if I haven't got a hunger for the things of God, your responsibility, I asked you for it. You didn't send it to me. You see how that works? It's not New Testament. Nowhere in the New Testament does it say that. What the New Testament teaches is that we should yield to him. How do we yield? By studying his word, knowing his word, living his word, by being in prayer. You see? So it's interesting. Is this making sense?
Yeah.
So we're looking at, you know, the wrong type of prayers. Let me very briefly share two more. The first one that we looked at was prayer that doesn't line up with the word. Then we looking at praying for the anointing, which is sort of a subhead into that. Then praying for revival, again, part of the subheading. D, praying for the hunger for the things of God. But number two, prayers that we ought not to be praying, is a prayer that lacks faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Earnestly seek him. Earnestly seeking God. He's a rewarder of those people who earnestly seek him. So a prayer that lacks faith, you know, some people pray, it's as if, you know, well, it's like a sort of a spin of the wheel. I'll give it a go. Let's see if it works. No, friends. Listen, faith, prayers of faith must be offered. And God responds to prayers of faith. Another type of prayer that ought not to be prayed, prayer with the wrong motives. James 4:3 teaches us. It says, look, you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your lusts. We've got to be careful, you know, that we're not self-serving in our prayer, self-seeking in our prayer. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. If you want those things, who wants the things? Anyone want things? Oh, not everyone wants things. Oh, look, it's so spiritual. Oh, I don't believe you. Of course we want things. If you want things, seek his kingdom first and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you as well. Hallelujah. That's a true testimony from a life. Thank you, Lord, for it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. In him will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus. So then let's go on now to the right type of prayer. The right type of prayer. Okay. First of all, the right type of prayer must be biblical. We must know what the word says before we can pray along with it. As we just read in James 4. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss. We mustn't ask amiss in our prayers. If we do, we don't receive. So what could be the right type of prayers then? What does the Bible teach us about the right type of prayers? Well, let me give you a list of a few here. Number one, we should pray for our enemies. Matthew 5:44. Pray for our enemies. Number two, pray for missionaries. Luke 10:4 teaches us that. Number three, that we don't enter temptation. Matthew 26:41. And number four, for ministers of the word. Pray for those ministers of the word. Number five, for government authorities. Number six, for relief from affliction. Number seven, for the healing of fellow believers. James 5:16. Number eight, for wisdom. James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. So we know in those areas, for example, God commands prayer, and we can pray with confidence that we're praying according to his will. Is this making sense so far? Is anything that's been said so far going to be of practical use to anyone in this place? Yeah? It has to be of practical use. So there must be an application of what's been said in our lives. The other type of prayers that are answered are biblical prayers. Number two, they're faith-filled. Hebrews 11:6, and without faith, it's impossible to please him. James 1:6 says, but when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. And I conclude with this. The other type of prayer that is answered is spirit-filled. Romans 8:26. Let's turn there. In Romans 8:26 it says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, Paul also stated in 1 Corinthians 14:14, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Notice he says, my spirit prays. So speaking in tongues eliminates the possibility of selfishness in our prayer life. Praying in tongues is a very important thing for Christians to do. I'm more and more convinced that we need to pray in tongues as much as we can. Praying in tongues eliminates... You can't pray selfish prayers in tongues. You don't pray self-orientated prayers in tongues. If I pray a prayer out of my own mind and out of my own thinking, it might be unscriptural. You've seen the list. I mean, I'll tell you, as I was compiling the wrong type of prayers, I was thinking to myself, oh, Lord, please help me, Lord, as I pray. I could be praying all the wrong sort of things. Help me. Help me. And it's true. So I've got to get my mind alert. Be alert and pray. When we pray, we be alert and pray. But isn't it nice to think, yes, and in the midst of my prayer, I can enter into tongues. And when I'm in tongues, I know that I won't be unbiblical. And I won't be selfish. Because when I'm praying in tongues, my spirit is praying. And listen, folks, we need to be praying this way. The world around us is such that the world around us, there are so many people around here who need to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. I believe many people will accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. When they do, they need good counsel from Christians. And the more we understand of the truths regarding prayer, the more that we all understand, we can share that with them and lead people the right way. Amen. See, he called us as Christians to disciple people. So someone comes to know the Lord, they come into the church. Now, it's not up to the leaders to disciple. It's up to the church. It's the body who disciples. A lady may come in. She may have something in common with one of the ladies. They may be friends. They may know. They share things. Well, the Christian lady is responsible for knowing these truths. And she can disciple the new Christian in these truths. Really, you know, in the church, we're all teachers in that sense. Now, I know that there's an office of teacher, and we shouldn't presume to have that office. The scriptures warn against that very clearly. So we shouldn't presume that. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that we are to be discipling those around us. As a man is the head, in his family. I'd like to see men really leading the way in their families, leading in the prayers of their families, setting a good example. Very often it's the women who are in church. So, when we're praying in tongues, we know that we're praying the right prayers, that we're praying from our spirit, not our carnal flesh. Paul wrote to the church at Rome, you know, and he said, we know not what we should pray for as we ought. He didn't say we didn't know how to pray. He said, because, I mean, we know that we're instructed to pray to the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. John 16 teaches us that. John 16, 23 and 24 teaches us that. So they understood that. But just because I know how to pray doesn't mean that I know what to pray for as I ought. So Paul says, we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit is not going to do our praying for us. He's sent to help us to pray. So the Holy Spirit is helping us then as we're praying. Speaking with other tongues is praying as the Spirit gives utterance. It's Spirit-directed praying. Let's close. And it eliminates the possibility of selfishness in our prayers. It builds our faith to speak in tongues. You know, the Bible teaches in Jude 20, building yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. It separates us. Speaking in tongues stimulates faith, helps us learn how to trust God more fully. For example, faith must be exercised to speak with tongues because the Holy Spirit supernaturally directs the words that we're speaking. Let's all stand, shall we? You see, we don't know what the next word will be when we speak in tongues. We have to trust God for that. And trusting God in one area helps us learn to trust him in another area. Listen, every church that's ever done anything, every Christian life that's ever done anything for Christ has been a life that's been in prayer. Every young person who's successfully steered their way through the young adult years has been a young person in prayer. Young people get so nervous. Bless the darlings. Bless them, Father, that Father God, they would steer successfully through the years that lie ahead, that they wouldn't be tricked or duped by the enemy, but they would be shining examples of your grace and love. They would be testimonies and leaders in whatever field they choose. All the young people in Living Faith Church, Father God, we thank you for your hand on them. Thank you for your hands on them, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord, we come here today. We're learning about you, Lord. We're learning about prayer. We're learning to yield our lives. And Father God, we say today, have your way with us. Lord, we want to pray more. We want to pray in the mornings. We want to just live for you, yielding our lives, allowing you to shape us. So, Father, take the words that have been spoken, I pray, and allow those words to minister to our hearts and our minds. That, Father God, we would put a demand on ourselves to pray according to the word. That we put a demand on ourselves to pray by the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit would lead. us through life. Father God, have your way with us. Have your way with us. Listen, every eye closed. No one looking around. Every eye closed. And let me say this invite. If you want to pray a different type of prayer this morning, if you've learned something this morning about prayer, or you make a commitment this morning under the leading of God for your life, respond to God now by putting your hand up and say, from this moment onwards, Lord, I'm taking that thing on board, and I will change by the power of the Holy Spirit working in me. I'm going to change. I'm going to live my life for you. I'll be a praying person, and I'm going to pray the right type of prayers. I see hands being lifted up. I see hands being lifted up in this place this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Heavenly Father. So, Father, we give ourselves to you then. And we say this, Lord, have your way in and through our lives. Your will be done. Your kingdom come. Anyone who's not prayed in tongues and wants the gift of praying in tongues, I'm going to invite you to come down to the front now. Would you just come down to the front? If there's anyone who wants to pray in tongues, you haven't received that gift yet, you just come to the front. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll invite